What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. My name is Jared. I am here with my good friend Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the results of the Wibley Burns fight from last weekend. We're going to take a look ahead to the upcoming UFC 250 from right here in Las Vegas. We are going to discuss the possibility of a third title for one Conor McGregor. And we are definitely going to talk about the craziness surrounding the UFC light heavyweight champion, John Jones. Before then, though, Paul, let's get into our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
Right on today's episode, we are rocking two different kinds of weed. We got our standby. We got the cookies.
Always got the cookies.
It's a good batch.
Never go wrong with cookies.
Absolutely. We actually thought this was Tropicana cookies at first, but before the show, we determined that they're wrong. This is not Tropicana cookies. This is regular cookies.
Yeah, it's really hoppy smelling too.
Yeah, very hoppy. Tropicana tends to be super orangey and a little purple on the color usually, but the orange is definitely there. But it's good weed, I'll tell you that. That's in this beautiful new, like, this is a crazy bubbler piece you brought over today.
I don't know if to call it a bong or a bubbler.
It's a hybrid of both.
Yeah,
it's got, nice though.
Yeah, it's like a giant bubbler with a showerhead perk and a fucking and another perk that kind of looks like Broncos colors, so I got it.
Yeah, I like that too. I was thinking when I saw it, I was like, ooh, Broncos colors. Word. Shit, we also got some papaya today. That's a hybrid, about 70% indica. It's created by Nirvana Seeds. They were looking to create like a mango type strain, so they crossed citral number 13 with ice number 2 and wound up with papaya. We got that in this little bottle bong over here with the Fiji bottle today. And we have got some Mimosa Shatter, which is Mimosa's Clementine and Purple Punch. And then we got that cool little seahorse. What is it?
It's a nectar collector.
Nectar collector. Yes. I like that, too. We got a PAX 3 we're smoking out of. We got a nice little variety. Four different kinds we're smoking. I'm going to hit this big bubbler right here.
The big bubbler. That's its name. The big bubbler.
The big bubbler. Word. Ooh, where do you want to start with today's fights, man? There's a lot going on.
A lot of shit going on all over the place. Well, let's just start with earlier in the week. We found out on Thursday, I want to believe, that finally Vegas was reopened for fights again.
Yeah.
The Athletic Commission came in, had their conference. They came out. Fights were on for Friday.
That's a big deal.
Or Saturday, I'm sorry.
Thank God.
Yeah. And then Saturday rolls around, and there's some solid fights on the card, but there wasn't really any big names. I mean, Mackenzie Dern got a quick sub, still pretending like she's got a Brazilian accent.
All right, let's talk about that. Let's speak about Mackenzie Dern's Brazilian accent.
I don't know. I mean, it was thick.
She was talking in like Vanderlei Silva accent level.
Dude, it's funny because like she'll spend half the interview like speaking normal, and then she'll just like some words she'll just fucking butcher them on purpose.
I mean, in case folks listening aren't aware, she is a very high level Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner, and whose father
is from Brazil. Yeah.
Is from Brazil.
Yeah.
But where was she born and raised?
I want to say I don't know if it was either Arizona or California.
Right, and she's been here for like
she's been here forever. She's been around like a lot of Brazilians, and maybe they talk that way. That could help. But like, dude, she's lived in California for the last 9 fucking years. She trains in San Diego at fucking Dominic Cruz's place, so it's not like she's in like a place with a bunch of Brazilians either. Like that place is filled with a bunch of guys from California.
It's really weird.
Like it's funny because she has like that California girl accent,
exactly,
like, and then she'll switch it to the Brazilian.
She's got that California Valley girl, and suddenly switches and to Vanderlei Silva, thick Brazilian
halfway
accent.
Through, it's like, what the fuck is she doing? Like,
what just happened?
It just sounds fake too. That's what's funny.
It's very bizarre, and it's like, I don't know what to make of it, but her PR team or whoever's telling her to do that,
it's hilarious.
They should stop.
They should stop. Because like,
it's bizarre.
You can see straight through it.
But it's good to see her winning.
Yeah, back on track.
Yeah, back on track. She got a fight bonus, too.
Took her first L because she's coming off pregnancy and stuff, and who knows how that affected her. She was the quickest women's fighter to ever come back and fight after giving birth. Yeah, so it's quick. Like,
I was surprised.
And
by
she
that,
lost really. A pretty close decision. It wasn't like she got mulled over by. I can't remember who it was she lost to.
No, but it was close. It was a competitive fight. But
I want to say it was.
She did lose.
Yeah. But yeah, so then there's some other solid fights throughout the card. Nothing crazy. Then we get to the main event where Gilbert Burns just annihilates Tyron Woodley for 5 rounds. Just beat the shit out of him. Very similar to how he lost the title. It was just like it just never seemed like he got started.
It's almost a little better performance than Usman put on him, frankly, because Burns dropped him a couple times with punches. Yep,
twice. Once in the first, once in the fourth.
That's 10 rounds in a row that Tyron Woodley has lost straight.
And it's not like, and unanimously, though. It's not like exactly. It's not like he had a couple of cards where it's like, it's a close, not a judge, close nobody. One. No, nobody thought he's won a round in the last 10 rounds he's fought.
He's a little bit older, too.
And a couple of them were 10-8s.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking three. Manhandled. Three of them are 10-8s. Because I'd say round one was a 10-8 against Gil. And then rounds four and five were 10-8s against Usman.
Yeah.
And then, so at least three. And then the fourth one maybe in round two against Usman. So it's like.
That's tough.
I don't know if this calls for a camp change, no, because he just changed camps. He just went over to TriStar for these exact reason to help with his stand up and his timidness, and he just looked timid and not really there.
Now I'm just gonna toss an idea out there, and I'm gonna make a comparison, but not on the fight levels. Like he's been a great champion. He's had like 4 defenses of the title. I
want to say 5.
Yeah, like 4 or 5.
He beat Damian Maia. Lawler twice.
To win. Yeah.
Yeah, Lawler, Wonderboy twice, Damian Maia, and then who else did he fight? Oh, Till.
Till, yeah.
5.
So he's been a great champ. But remember how distracted he? I mean, all of a sudden he's got a rap career. He's got a show on TMZ. He's got his behind-the-scenes filming of his camps and everything. Yeah. Like, he had a lot going on, which on one hand, you're like, hey, that's great. Make your money. But on the other hand, who was another champion that did that famously? Was Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
And I'm not comparing their skill levels. Tyron's a way more complete fighter than she was. But the situation is kind of similar because she blew up and then she's all over the place. And then her focus isn't getting up and being a fighter no more. It's being a fighter and doing this and that and this and that and the other. Gilbert Burns has been in the fucking gym.
Here would be my rebuttal to that. Would be maybe it's part of that, but then also one thing people don't realize is Tyron Woodley is the oldest UFC welterweight champion ever.
Okay, there's that too.
He was the oldest welterweight champion ever. Fought for his belt, defended his belt 5 times, and then loses it as the oldest.
And he was the oldest
welterweight to ever lose the championship also. So that's the thing. Is
you
like
have to look at that, too.
He's the oldest on both sides.
Because when you hit that wall, when that age hits you, I mean, it's just a small gap between all these guys. These are all talented athletes.
Yeah. Well, and I think his body's given up on
him. You lose a couple degrees, and then all of a sudden.
I honestly think his body's given up on him. He looks small. His muscles look deflated. He was slow. His power's still there, but his power is always going to be there. Because that's the last thing to ever go, you know?
Right.
But the thing is, I don't think his speed, timing, and physicality are what they were 5 fights ago when he won the title against Robbie. You know,
no, he wasn't the same wrecking
machine.
He's
not the same guy. I think that would be a good fight for him to maybe get back on track if he wants to continue fighting. Maybe have him and Robbie scrap it out again. But I just don't know how much longer after that performance he should keep fighting these guys who are at the highest level.
And he's definitely a long way from a title shot again, let's be honest.
Well, yeah.
Especially the way the division
is
sitting right now. 2-5-0s
are tough to freaking...
Back to back.
That's tough.
That's tough, man.
It's tough. It's tough to even know where you are in the rankings after that. Because not only did Gilbert Burns do that to you, but he did that to you as you being the number one contender and him being number 6 or 7, I want to say.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, man. And this guy was number 11 3 weeks ago. So,
right.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking any credit away from Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns is a great fighter.
Dude, he's a beast.
Well on the way to becoming possibly the next champ. But at the same time, Tyron Woodley is not the same Tyron Woodley of old, unfortunately. And it's not even a knock on him. It's just reality. Like, let's just be honest. There's a wall, like you were saying. There's a wall in every professional fighter, football player, basketball, any professional athlete hits at a certain age, and their skills diminish. And it's unfortunate.
You're not right at that tip-top level anymore. You're still good.
That's right. Yeah, you can still, you can still put on a show when the lights are on, but you can't do it by yourself anymore. You know what I mean? Like there's got to be some mastermind behind what you're doing. Like we've seen a lot of times with these older guys who lose the title and go on these streaks, they team up with some great coach of yesteryear or something like that, where they feel like either, and it goes one of two ways, either they lose a third time and they retire, or everything changes, their style changes, and they're a complete different fighter. And I just don't see Tyron Woodley doing that.
Yeah, let's move on to what do you think he's going to do? Like me, I think he's probably going to retire the way he's talking.
I could see that, but I could also see him doing, like I was saying before, like a Robbie like fight or some kind of rematch to lighten or go up to 85. But
dude, the way he looks small against Gilbert, I don't know if he could go to 85. Because look, you and I have been right next to Gilbert Burns at that black belt or CBE. Well,
I can't deny, though.
He's not a gigantic man. He looked pretty big compared to Woodley, though.
He's gotten bigger, for sure. He looks like he's what was before a short notice move up to 70 is now been a planned, calculated move to 170.
Yeah.
And his body has definitely grown. You know what I mean? Not grown, but you know what I mean? Like, you could tell between a muscle that's, you know, deflated because you're freaking dying every day in the gym, not fluid enough because you're just cutting so much weight, you're sucking so much down that it's like you look like nothing. And then you could tell when a guy is fully nourished, working out every day, taking all the nutrition supplements and shit like that, and you could tell that's Gilbert Burns, and Tyron Woodley's the guy who's sucking down because he's fought at that weight for so long that he's...
Could be.
He's getting to that age where it's like...
It cuts a real drain.
Yeah, it's a real drain on his body. And it showed. He looked slow and uninterested. He's looked like that for the last 10 rounds of his career.
What about Gilbert now? You think he gets that title shot next, or do you think he's going to fight one other?
Here's the problem with Gilbert Burns is him and Kamaru Usman train out of the same gym.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that will come to a level. I don't know if that will come to a head as far as one of them leaving or them just avoiding each other. And I think that's unfortunate. But I think that it's going to take one or two more for Gilbert to really get the title shot.
Yeah, I think because of that alone, he's going to be looking at least one more because I don't think they can iron out those differences quick enough to get back to
the
table.
And don't get me wrong, Gilbert could leave their gym just for this fight, for just a title shot, because Gilbert has trained all over the place. He'd probably welcome wherever.
Yeah.
You know, he's, from my understanding, it seems like he's very well liked in the community as well, because he got a big pop when we were at the Black Belt CBD thing. So he's got a bright future in this division, man. He could be the next champion.
It's just striking's come a long ways too. He's holy shit, sharp, man! That right hand he was dropping on Woodley all night was impressive.
And to beat Usman, you don't have to have ridiculous striking.
He's got the ground. Like every time they went down, like he was pulling. You know,
yeah, I don't see Usman.
He was looking for subs.
I don't see Usman fucking with him on the ground at all.
No.
So I think that's
a good fight.
Yeah, but I could see Burns maybe fighting someone like Colby next.
That would be an interesting fight.
I think it's Colby's worst nightmare as far as matchup. Because what Gilbert does best is everything Colby does best. Colby's great at high volume on the feet, controlling the pace, taking you down, and beating you up. Gilbert's solid on his feet, won't let Colby completely control the pace. And if they go to the ground, Gilbert's best off his back.
Oh, yeah. That'd
like,
be a tough fight.
Like, Gilbert's tough on top, but he has done his best work off his back.
Well, this about sums up that entire car. There's not really a lot more to talk about with it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into John Jones and Conor McGregor topics, let's talk about the upcoming UFC 250, which is, of course, once again here in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Once again at the Apex Center. No crowd. Glad to see it here, though.
Yeah.
We've got Amanda Nunes defending her 145-pound title against Felicia Spencer, who we... She got a shot against Cyborg as well.
Yeah.
I like Felicia.
I do, too. She's a tough. She's a tough, tough
She
fighter.
Took out...
Farron. Oh, she took... I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, why is her name not coming to me? Tall, very tall, yeah. Braids, good fighter, came up from Invicta. Marijuana is causing problems in my brain.
Yeah, me too. I see her face right now.
And she's one. She kicked Kat Zagano in the eye with her toe. Exactly. Like, and, like,
what is her name?
It was a crazy fight.
She's from Australia. Yes.
Well, it'll come to us later. But anyways, she fought her and climbed up her back and choked her out, which is impressive as hell. Like, I didn't think she'd be able to do that.
Absolutely.
But I don't think she can.
Yeah.
No. Amanda would have to make a mistake here.
Dude, the line right now is minus 600.
It's minus 600. I'm not betting that either.
And then it's plus 355 for, what's her name? Spencer. But I can imagine it seeing it going to like plus 400.
I'm still not a good bet. I wouldn't take it. It's Megan Anderson.
Megan Anderson.
So sorry. Megan Anderson.
But yeah, that bet's a long shot, man. That's back in the day when people were betting on Ronda's fights.
Yeah. I'm not effing with that. I expect Nunes to...
This is a big legacy fight for Nunes, actually.
It is, actually. She's the only fighter that can do this, defend these titles. That's because there is no 145-pound
division. Yeah.
The whole rankings is
Felicia. There's no queue. That's the thing. There's a long queue of lists of girls or women that deserved a title shot. It would be so different.
Yeah, but it's not.
Nah,
it's cool.
She can fight twice a year and fight once in each... Because she's cleared out 35. It'd be different if she had not cleared out 35 already. They're fucking hoping and praying somebody walks her in at 135.
Who was there at 45 after this? There's not even a possibility of another contender. What, Megan? Yeah. You just lost to
Alicia. That was two fights ago. Megan's on a two-fight win streak since then.
Yeah, I guess it's like heavyweight. It don't take much in this division.
It doesn't, no.
That means she beat the whole division. She's on a two-fight win streak. So she beat all the other contenders. That's it. She's back to number one. UFC. I don't understand why they've never bothered filling this division.
I see Nunes rolling here.
Yeah, Nunes is going to F her up. Let's be real. I like Spencer, but...
Yeah, she's a tough mofo.
Man. She hung in there with Cyborg. I was, like, impressed. But,
which means this could be a decision, because we've seen Nunes get in there with tough girls, just like, what's her name? Raquel Pennington. She beat the dog shit out of Raquel, but Raquel went all five rounds with her.
Yeah, Raquel's a dog.
Unfortunately, it was stopped in the fight. Well, not unfortunately, it needed to be stopped. Yeah. What it did, but it was a beatdown. And if Felicia gets in there, it could be a very similar outcome.
Co-main event's pretty exciting. Now, that for me is a toss.
Well, here's the thing:
we got 135-pound
co-main event all the way down. It's like a 135 tournament.
Yeah.
For who's going to be the guy. Because
unfortunately, the
vacant title is already being spoken for and they're announced.
I don't think anybody's taking that serious, though.
No, they announced it. It's going to happen in July. Jose Aldo versus Petr Yan for the belt. On that 25th card is supposedly when it's supposed to happen. Yeah. But they have no promises of where it's going to be. It's supposed to be on Fight Island. So, yeah, I don't know why, but they gave Aldo the shot still, even though Henry Cejudo himself, after he retired, goes, yeah, he doesn't deserve it. So
I appreciate that, Henry.
He literally sat on the mic. He's like, when they were like, so do you think Petr Yan and Jose Aldo are going to fight for the belt? And he's like, Aldo? I guess.
I guess
you could do that, but. Here's the thing.
Well, we've got Cody Garbrandt versus Rafael Assuncao.
Those two are... That's like for the who's in the queue fight. You know?
Right. Because we've still got Sterling versus Sandhagen,
which is the real number the real one number contender. One
contender. Both like the guys... winner of Sterling Sandhagen is going to fight the winner of Aldo versus Jan. Yeah. That's
you know
unless
what it
craziness
almost,
occurs.
You know what it almost what makes me happen. Think though is it this is almost like a ploy by Dana White to get a name in attached to a belt again that sold for him because Aldo never sold big numbers, but he's still. Like it or not, a household name for getting knocked out by Conor McGregor. So everybody knows who Jose Aldo is, who's a casual or not. Because just be based on that fight alone. Because
on that alone, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy, Conor knocked out. Oh, he still fights? Yeah. You know, or some bullshit like that. You know, just because they don't really watch the UFC. But here's the thing is, at 35, I think that's a detriment. Because you have so much young talent that you could be promoting right now. But instead, you're giving a title shot to a guy who is basically 1-3 in his last four. Because he lost to Volkanovski.
I'm not a fan of that at all, as we've discussed.
Well, he beat freaking...
He lost to Holloway twice.
Okay, no, you know what? Because he got two wins. He got Stevens and the other cat who moved up to 55.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Let's not do this again.
No, let's not.
Another Brazilian kid, though.
Yeah.
He beat him, but then he took a loss to Volkanovski. He took a loss to Moraes. But here's the thing. Although we've had this argument before, if you reverse that L to either a draw or a win against Moraes, does that change the narrative based on him where Moraes is in the division and what that win would mean as far as getting a title shot?
I mean, I suppose if you're changing an L to a W, it has to.
But you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I get what you're saying.
I'm just trying to kind of think what the UFC's thinking here.
UFC's praying to God that fucking Aldo wins.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Jan is...
Dude, I like
him. Unmarketable.
I like that cat. I think he's all right. I think Aljo
is the best case scenario for the champion because he's already got mainstream appeal. Yeah.
Aljamain Sterling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got mainstream appeal. For sure.
He needs to be the guy. He'd be great for the division. He's a good fighter.
Plus, he's great on the mic.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got some personality.
Yeah.
He's got a little character going for himself.
He's been on the Rogan Experience, so a lot of people will know him from there. You know, so.
No, that
this
would be
whole
the best
135. So it's like you got Garbrandt of Sunsell, then you got Sterling Sandhagen, and then you have Eddie Wineland versus Sean O'Malley, and then I want to say this is 35 pound fight too, isn't it?
Caceres versus Chase Hooper.
Yeah, or is that 45?
I'm pretty sure it's 35.
Might be 30.
Caceres hasn't fought at 45 in a while.
Nah, because he just fought Gracie at 45.
These guys bounce around a little bit.
Yeah. Who knows? But here's the thing. That 35-45 window is basically this whole card.
Right. There's a lot of these fights going on.
Yeah. So let's take it at the top with Garbrandt coming off, what, 3 losses in a row now? Taking on Rafael Sanchez.
This is a featherweight. All right. I wanted to clarify.
Featherweight. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. Caceres' record is 15 wins and 12 losses. He's a good fighter, though.
He's game as fuck.
He's real game.
Kind of like Michael Johnson. Isn't Michael Johnson negative now?
Oh, he's right there in Artem Lobov territory, though.
Yeah, he's close.
Lobov's the GOAT, though. He'd fuck both of them.
Yeah,
he'd
fuck both of them up. So.
At the same time.
Duh.
So, you know, anyways.
All right, so we'll take it from the top. So Garbrandt and Sun Tzu. This is an interesting matchup. Striker versus jiu-jitsu guy.
And Garbrandt, with his repetitive history of getting pissed off and throwing from the hip.
I don't think would hurt him in this fight.
Sunsal doesn't pack a whole lot of power.
But he does pack a whole lot of technique. I think where Garbrandt could get lost in this fight is in a point fight inside 3 rounds.
This is a pretty important fight. If Garbrandt makes that same mistake again,
he's fucked.
I don't see how. Then that's it. That's your whole career. That's you then. That's just you're
I'm
the guy.
I'm wondering what happened, though, because now he's over at he's over at Frankie's gym.
So he's left Team Alpha Male?
Well, no, he's doing half and half.
He's splitting his time over there.
Yeah. What's up?
Okay, well, that's good.
Mark Henry. He's over with
Mark
Henry now.
Mark Henry is good.
There was rumors that he was going to 25, but now he's fighting here. The rumor was he was going to 25. I wonder if he got upset that he didn't get the title shot. because at 25, really, who even is, who deserves a title shot, you know, at this point? I would have liked, honestly, I don't mean to be like this, but I don't even like the title fight that they're running back. Like, Joey
Figueredo versus Joey Benavidez.
Yeah, I think Figueredo versus Garbrandt would have been a much, much more interesting fight.
We'll see. I mean,
because he could still move down. He could win this fight and still go back to 25.
We'll find out how much that headbutt altered things, because Joey gets to run it back. So he's truly Joey two times.
He was getting tagged that whole fight, though.
But he's Joey two times. They have to run it back.
And they fucking, and he basically was like 2 seconds from getting submitted.
He loses a fight, he gets to run it back again. He's Joey two times.
But yeah, I honestly would like Garbrandt to go to 25. He's kind of small. I think he can make it.
He probably could.
He's kind of a smaller guy.
He'd be at less danger of getting knocked the fuck out at 25.
I think his power would carry down too.
Probably. If he makes that mistake where he just leaves his chin out in the air because he gets mad and starts winging, and that happens again, he probably should move to 125.
And I can imagine him and Figueredo are probably very similar in size.
Yeah, Figueredo's big for the division. He's
and
much
Cody
bigger than
would
Joey.
Be too.
Yeah,
because Cody's he's
like 5'6".
He's a little
six.
Bit smaller than Dillashaw.
Yeah, I think he's 5'6".
He's probably about Henry Cejudo size.
Yeah, probably.
But he's not a thick guy. That's the thing. It's like the difference with like Henry Cejudo is like he was thicker. Garbrandt's kind of a skinnier. He's a skinnier guy, you know.
Yeah.
So I think win or lose, he could still go to 25. I don't know if he wins this fight, unfortunately, though.
No, this is a very tough.
It's a tough. This is one of the most game opponents he'll have. He hasn't fought, like, he's had some crazy knockouts, but not of like any real seasoned fighters, you know.
Cody's 5'7", so he's actually a lot bigger than Cejudo. He's the same size
as
Cruz.
Well, that'd be perfect.
But Sunshine's only 5'4".
Really?
Yeah. It's funny because Sunsal's got the reach on him, though. He's got an inch in the reach on him.
He's only 5'4"? That's got to be wrong.
Damn it, Sunsal's getting old, man. He's 37. Jeez.
Well, you got to think. He was in his prime when he beat Dillashaw, and Dillashaw just came into the UFC.
But no, you know, that's funny, though, because he's 5'4", and he's got 3 inches in height, but Sunsal's got an inch in reach because he's on the borderline of having those little T-Rex arms.
Oh, balls.
You know.
T-Rex arms pack a punch.
Dude, he can punch, man. When he's got his head on, his striking is very good.
When his head's
man.
On, he's one of the best fighters
For
in the
real.
Division.
I don't mean to sound like he's shitty. I'm not talking shit on him. He's very good. Yeah. He tends to get mad and then throw wildly and then get knocked out. It has happened like 3 times now. You can't deny it.
2 against the same guy.
He's an excellent fighter. Yeah. And if he fixes that, he could easily win another title, I think.
I think the Dillashaw and him rivalry was the biggest mistake of his career.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Dillashaw going to be back soon.
January. Yep. Yeah. It's like what we were talking about on the other show. 35 months. Is like... They could not. He could totally come back and not skip a beat, too. Because he'll only be about 36.
People can say what they want to say. We all can about, he got busted with a PED, but he's still a high-level athlete. I mean, it doesn't mean he wasn't training hard. It's not like you sit on your couch and take a PED and now that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the dude's a very high-level athlete.
He's taking him so he could train.
He could come back and be a force in the division for sure. A beast.
So who do you got?
I'm going to go with Cody, man. I like Cody in his fight. I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, I'm going for
Cody. I want him to win.
Yeah.
I want him to stay sharp and keep moving forward. I'd like to see him stay at 35. But I wouldn't be mad at a 25 drop either. I'm not mad at it at all.
All right, so let's move on to the next fight. We got pretty much the real number one contender fight at 135 pounds. We got Aljamain Sterling taking on Cody Sandhagen. Number 2 versus number 3, I want to say.
It's a great fight because Sandhagen's tough, man. Sandhagen's
great
a beast.
Fight, yeah.
A beast.
Just a savage. And Sterling is no fucking joke either because...
No, Sterling. We're just talking.
The thing about Sterling that makes him different is he's so awkward in his striking. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll hit you with like 1-2s and then out of nowhere he'll hit you with like a spinning back, a heel kick to the fucking ribs. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing? And then he'll hit you with, like, crazy up elbows and spinning elbows. And then his takedown in a wrestling game is top notch. He was a freaking junior college, I believe a junior college All-American or something like
that. Yeah, his wrestling game is good.
He's legit as fuck.
Absolutely.
And his jiu-jitsu is no joke either, man. He's over there with your boy Matt Serra, and mm-hmm. he's one of the best jiu-jitsu coaches in the world.
Absolutely, probably. Absolutely. And Roy Longo, that's a great team over there. I see him as the uncrowned champ. I think he's just waiting, or champ in waiting, whatever you want to call it. I think he's the guy, just like we talked about.
I don't
think
he would sleep on Sandhagen, though. He's like Dominic Cruz 2.0.
No, that's a tough fight. That's why we're saying it's a legit. It's not just a number one contender for Aljo. Sandhagen wins.
I think this should be the title fight.
Well, so do I. I wish it was, honestly.
I don't know what Piotr Jan has done that has got Dana White's such a hard on for him.
They should just switch it, man.
I just don't get it.
Make this the title fight. I mean, in a perfect sense. And then have the Aldo Jan fight for the number one contender.
It would have helped this fucking card, too. It really would have helped this card.
Sure it would have. And it'd give Dana... You give Aldo a chance to take back that fucking mm-hmm. if he really won that fight, then cool, you should be
able to beat whoever.
Yeah. You know.
Well, and you're gonna have to fight him either way.
Right.
If you do win.
Did that make a lot more sense? But it's the UFC, man.
Yeah, it's rough.
So
well, let's switch on over to a 175-pound fight. We got a 170-pound fight. We got Neil Magny taking on Anthony Rocco Martin. A couple of UFC vets almost, you know, they've been in for a while.
Magny's had a lot of fights.
Magny's got a shit ton of fights. He looked great in his last fight,
too. He sure did.
I think Anthony Rocco Martin's game is fucked, too. Neil's one of those guys that
could
put together
a run. Like, I don't know if he could ever be champ, but he could get up and get a title shot.
Neil, yeah.
Like he could spark together a 3-4 fight streak and be knocking at the door at any point. Sure.
Yeah. Anthony Rocco Martin's no fucking joke either. He's game no matter what. I've really never seen a fight of his that was just like terrible or him getting destroyed. So he's game as fuck, but I just think Neil is more seasoned and has better technique.
He's a wily fighter. He's got a lot of veteran for sure.
Yeah.
He's great on the Ultimate Fighter, and he's still here after all these years.
Yeah, for sure. He's a savage. Yeah, so I like Neil.
I like Neil in that too, and I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be a dope fight.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these. This kind of makes up for the last card, which wasn't so great.
Yeah.
Back on with some of these stronger ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a pay-per-view as well, so they had to stack it.
Yeah.
Well, and then to close out the pay-per-view lineup, we have Eddie Wineland taking on Sean O'Malley.
We talked about this fight a little bit last week, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a great
fight. I don't think they announced the pony yet. Oh, yeah, we did talk about it last week, huh?
Well, either way, I think it's a perfect fight for Sean O'Malley to come back to. That's a fairly established name in the fucking division.
Absolutely.
You know, Wineland's been around a long time. He's a good vet. He was in WEC as well. And I think O'Malley wins this fight, and I think it's a perfect opponent for him to showcase
growth. I think this is a perfect opponent for him to also prove to the UFC that he's ready for people that are on...
Wineland's on a different level than his past opponents. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That top 15 level.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Eddie Wineland's not what he used to be.
Yeah, he's a little bit over the peak.
He's a little, but he is no fucking walking the park.
He's legit. He's
always going to be game. And if anyone thinks that he's not, because I saw this fight getting a little bit of flack on Twitter for being like, they're feeding him like easy opponents to build him up.
This will be O'Malley's toughest fight.
Dude, this is Eddie Wineland's a fucking savage, bro.
Who's sleeping on Eddie Wineland?
He's fought everybody.
Yeah.
That's what, no one realized. He has fought everyone. And the fact that this fight is kind of being seen as the young, eating the old freaking decrepit old lion. You know what I mean?
Right, young lion eating the old lion. Mm. I got this Max 3 going with
that. I don't think it's that. I think if O'Malley isn't careful, this could be a very, very bad night for him and could completely derail all the
points. Absolutely. He's got to be on his game.
Yeah.
But this is his chance to prove he can do what
is his chance to freaking show the world that he is ready for, the top 15 of the world. You know, the freaking Jimmy Rivera's and the guys up on the top of the card. You know, the Cody Garbrandt's, the Rafael Sunsavs. Remember, he was even chirping when Henry Cejudo didn't have an opponent, and he was saying, if the UFC calls, I know that people don't think I'm on that level yet, but if the UFC was calling, he was going to answer the call and fight Henry if he had to. And I think everybody who is aspires to be a champion should have that same mentality. And I feel like 100%. That's a big, big part of his game.
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, I expect Sean O'Malley to come out here this upcoming weekend. And with all due respect to Eddie, I think he's going to make a statement here. And I don't see it getting past the second round, possibly ending in the first. But definitely, I don't see it past the second stoppage, Sean O'Malley. With a good call out on the mic afterward, I would expect.
Who, though?
And then, Sean, you can hit us up. We'll smoke some weed right here in town.
Cool thing, too, is I could see, going back to a couple weeks back, I could see maybe Sean fighting somebody like Chito Vera or freaking, maybe not Chito because he lost, but Song Yadong next.
Ooh,
that'd be a great fight. Those are two guys. I think Song Yadong's still undefeated because he has that draw, right?
As far as I know.
So, two undefeated guys, 135 pounds, freaking right in the mix. I think that would be a huge fight if he were to win.
I'll put some Keef in this PAX 3.
I can taste it.
It's good, and it's so strong. I was watching Billions the other night, and they were straight hitting this.
Oh, yeah?
The same piece, yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, like, you can't use it for nothing else. Like, you're not vaping a tobacco product out of this.
Yeah. Like, imagine putting blood that
I had to go online, and I had to Google it. I was like, were they using a PAX on Billions? Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. I thought that was cool.
And then, so we got also our prelim main event. We'll talk about a little bit here.
Yeah, because it's a fun fight.
Yeah. We got Alex Caceres.
Versus Chase Hooper. Ben Askren's Bruce Leroy. Lost son.
Bruce Leroy versus Ben Askren Jr.
That's so funny. I love it.
The Battle of the Afros.
The Battle of the Afros. For sure.
And they both like to, like, dude, this is going to be interesting. This is just going to be a fun fight to watch because they both got sick jiu-jitsu. They both have, like, good enough striking. Like, you know what I mean? This is going to be fun.
Caceres is very creative.
So is Hooper.
Sometimes it was detriment, and Hooper has shown that.
Hooper's like 14.
For sure. Right. He's a kid, and they're fighting the grown men.
Like, remember, he's like, what are you going to do after your fight? Go to the M&M factory.
Go to the M&M store. My prediction on this.
I like Chase.
Don't let Alex's record fool you. He's a legit fighter, even though he's got a lot of losses.
Yeah, but I think this is very similar to what we were talking about before. This is kind of the changing of the guard.
Yeah, he's a veteran. And he's game. That's why he's still in the UFC with that kind of record. Because when he loses, it's to good guys, and he puts up a good fight, and he's very entertaining.
Yeah.
And
his last fight was a big letdown for him, I feel.
Yeah. He'd really want to come out and win here, but Hooper's pretty tough.
He's tough.
I'm leaning towards Hooper, but I'm going to pick Caceres.
I'm taking Hooper. All right, I think that wraps up our predictions.
Yeah, that's it for UFC 250. UFC 250. Yeah. We got other things to talk about as we puff on this herb.
We got
you
a
hit
few
this papaya and this.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
It's nice.
It is nice, huh?
Yeah, it's dope.
I like that flavor on there, dude. It's an indica, but it's pretty energetic.
Speaking of people who are pretty energetic, I'm just kidding.
That's a nice segue. That's some professional segue right there.
Let's talk a little bit about the UFC and their hesitation to pay the greatest fighter of all time.
This is a bizarre situation that we should probably frame for everybody real quick. So while you're loading that up, I'll just lay some quick background. There was at the time we were listening to this, about 20 days ago or so, John Jones offered to basically fight Francis Ngannou in a move up to heavyweight to kind of set all of the MMA world afire. That's an excellent fight. I think we all kind of got excited about that. And he seemed to be legit. He said, send the deal. And then the next thing that happened in the public's eyes was what? It was Dana coming out and shooting it down and saying John asked for shit money, right? Mm-hmm. And then John Jones took umbrage to that and said, I did not ask for too much money. I didn't even say anything. Don't lie to everybody. Dana doubles down and said he wanted that Deontay Wilder money, $30 million to fight Francis Ngannou. John sticks by his gun, says, release these texts that you have, because also, I never sent them, right?
Another thing John does say, and he goes, Dana, don't lie to these people. You know I've never asked for more than five.
Yes, he points out that he gets $5 million, and he tells Dana to release these texts. Dana does not release any texts. John says they don't exist. Then John gets really mad, says he's tired of Dana's lies pretty much, and fuck it. He'll vacate his title. Peace out.
He put out a series of tweets, which included, good luck to Peter Yan versus Dominic Reyes for my vacant 205
title. I think Dominic Reyes will knock Peter Yan's little ass into next week, because you mean Jan Blachowicz.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Peter Yan, as good a fight as he's 135 pounds.
That's Dominic Reyes. That's weed talking. Dominic Reyes versus Jan Blachowicz. I'm sorry.
Yes, the Polish power versus Reyes.
Which was probably going to happen.
Yeah, he puts that out. Puts a tweet out. John Jones does. It says, just have these guys fight for the title. Yeah. And he'll either go to boxing, or he'll go act, or you know what? He'll just kick it at home with his kids and be dad. But he's not going to get lied on. Which I find it interesting. I'll tell you, the first thing that I find interesting is that Dana fires back something about, like, me tarnish your reputation. You tarnished your own reputation. But I'm thinking John sees this as two different things. Yeah. He sees his personal life as his personal life. Mm-hmm. And we all get in some kind of trouble. All right? But his shit in the cage and his business is his business. And that's completely different. These are not the same things. Like, him and his drama outside the cage. He's flawless in the cage. Mm-hmm. And then when you've got...
Well, let's not even
Dana kind of crapping on him as a fighter, on the fighter side, you know.
Well, and here's the thing, is Dana also kind of said that he's made himself unmarketable.
That's ridiculous.
That's just a ridiculous statement.
He's the second biggest draw in the company behind Connor.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Let's not... I mean, he's not Connor, not those levels, but...
But no one is.
Let's not fool ourselves here.
Like, when you really talk about... Well, let's just talk about it a little bit. When you talk about, like, greatest of all time, there's a difference between being entertaining and being the greatest. You know what I mean? Some people are great, and some people are great at making a show out of it. Yeah. And Conor McGregor is great at turning it into a show and then delivering on the physical end. And Jon Jones is just great at delivering on the physical end.
Absolutely. Jon Jones is, in my mind, definitely the GOAT. I love Conor, but he's not really in the conversation at this present time of his career. But Jon Jones, he said that he did not ask for a specific amount. He simply said that he asked for an increase in pay to take a super fight. He wanted to discuss an increase in pay, and he was immediately shut down.
Yeah.
Like, you can see in his Twitter feed, he says negotiating with the UFC, and then it's like 25 minutes later, he's like, well, that was bullshit. So
it's tough, man.
And that's where we got to here, where we might actually see the GOAT leave the sport.
Yeah. Well, and it's a tough situation because it's always he said, she said with the UFC because there's no union, there's no nothing, there's no. And I'm kind of glad Jon Jones put out how much he makes because that kind of pushes the narrative forward of like, all right, man, if you're really going to talk shit, I got paid $5 million my last fight.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Deontay Wilder got his ass, no offense, but he got his ass beat. He got paid $30
million. $30 million in a losing effort.
Jon Jones, as other than a bullshit DQ, has never lost. So,
and they pull similar pay-per-view numbers.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
They did under $1 million in that Tyson Fury fight the second time, and the first one did $300,000. Jon Jones pulls more than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we're talking money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he doesn't have a leg to stand on as far as the numbers that he pulls. Even the second, I believe the second Fury fight did around, the Fury Wilder fight too, did around 800,000.
I want to say, didn't the second time with him in DC get like 890?
I think it got 890. It got at least 850, over 8. Yes. You're talking about DC versus Jon Jones. Yes. Because none of DC's fights after that hit those kind of numbers either, which proved who the draw was.
Exactly.
So, he's not being crazy asking for an increase, especially when it's going to be...
And Jon Jones has beat every greatest light heavyweight ever. He's beaten everybody. How can you deny him at all?
Not only is he asking to jump to heavyweight, he wants to fight the most terrifying heavyweight that there currently is available.
And you could sell the shit out of it.
Yes.
The shit out of it, dude.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
And Ngannou has basically backed up everything that Jones has said, too, for what it's worth. He said the UFC shut it down.
The UFC shut it down.
They weren't willing to pay a dime more to me.
Yep.
Fucking... And that's just absurd.
It's crazy. It's like the UFC wants to lose two of their biggest draws, too, because like we were talking about before, Ngannou said he'll just keep accepting fights till his contract's up if they don't want to give him a title shot.
Right.
And then you got John Jones who said, all right, peace out. Call me in 2021 when Izzy wants to fight. That's what he said. So
both of them could use the Ali Act if they really wanted to force boxing matches, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for boxing, yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to be able to fight another MMA promotion.
Yeah.
Unless they, I mean, if they go out their contract, but I mean, if Jones could.
Well, let's say he retires. Well, let's just say this. Yeah. He vacates the UFC belt and retires as an MMA fighter. If he were to spring a new, that's like the same thing as if a football player said, screw, like we were talking about earlier. It's like if LeBron James decided when he was playing for the Miami Heat, he was under contract for 3 years, like 60 mil still. And then he decides to go to the Dallas Cowboys and play football.
Right.
The Miami Heat can't go, oh, hey, what the fuck? He just won't get that money anymore because he's technically retired from the NBA.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like they can't just – if he retires from MMA, there's nothing they can do about it if he wants to go box.
They're not going to fight him in court because they'll lose. That's why they capitulated to Conor with the Floyd thing ultimately. I mean, on the public, yeah.
Who's like, whoa, it's a
great coming together. Dude.
Yeah, but in all reality –
because they would have lost. Dana knows, they didn't want to fuck with
it. Yeah. Dana and Conor both know whose court the ball was in.
Right, and it's not just some chump fighter that might not have any money. These are guys that we can go to court if you want. Mm-hmm. I got lawyers too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they happen to be in the right, so you know they don't have that UFC money, but they'll win.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really a foregone conclusion. Yeah, for sure. I think he's pretty serious. I think if Dana don't play this shit right, he'll actually bounce out.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think bounce for good, though?
Because it also gives him the opportunity to still go out on top.
True.
Right after seeing Cejudo do it.
True. Well, that puts the UFC in a peculiar situation. Because let's just go down the list. Their 115-pound women's champion is in China. Their 125-pound champion is possibly in Russia. Their 135-pound champion is defending her 145-pound belt this weekend, which pretty much puts her on ice for 6 months after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's go to the men's side. 125-pound belt is vacant. Your 135-pound belt is vacant. Your 145-pound belt is held by someone who lives in New Zealand.
And just to clarify, all these countries under travel restrictions.
And then your 155-pound champion is in Russia. Your 175-pound champion is buying out his contract every other day.
And Khabib's dealing, even if he could travel, he's dealing with all kinds of personal things.
Yeah, his fucking dad's on his deathbed.
Yeah, so he's not going to be back anytime soon. They said
half his family has coronavirus.
Yeah.
And then your 185-pound champion also lives in New Zealand. Your 205-pound champion just walked away. And your 265-pound champion is a firefighter, and his gym has gotten freaking threats to be shut down if they were to go and train at there.
Yeah, like so, he literally could just go back to training like 3 days ago or some shit.
Or soon, like, something like
or
that.
Soon, June 1st. So, okay, yeah.
So today.
Yeah, as far as I know, I mean.
So here's the thing. It's like the UFC is going to need to play ball here. I guarantee you John Jones gets paid more than he was getting paid before.
Or the thing that we won't quite get into yet could happen, which would buy them some time.
That is true. Well, let's talk about it then.
Well, the thing we're talking about, go ahead.
There's a big, like we were just talking about before, the 170 champion is Kamaru Usman, and he's damn near outbid himself four times in the last month.
And we've got looking like it's going to be Masvidal, who was the number one contender. He's going to fight Nate again.
He's going to fight Nate again, probably on July 11th.
Yeah.
Which leaves two dance partners out without a motherfucking dance partner.
And whose name did they start throwing out? Both his manager,
Kamaru Usman, and his manager, Shithead Ali Al-Dazi. They come out and they go, okay, if Masvidal's not going to fight us, we'll fight Conor. Like, what? Who's ever even said that? And then they're like, yep, makes the most sense. Wave a belt in front of Conor's face. There's no way he won't sign. And if he doesn't, he's a pussy. That's what fucking Usman said. So it's like, he put him in a weird situation because Conor is known. He loves gold, dude. He's like gold member. He will never turn down a title fight. I don't give a fuck. It's for the heavyweight championship. The thing is,
even though I don't like that fight being a Conor fan, I don't even think him losing that fight really hurts his brand all that much. Oh, you tried to jump up and fight somebody even bigger and badder. As long as he comes back to 55 and wins.
Think you could fade Usman, though?
I don't know. I mean, it's Conor. He could win, but he could also get taken down and fucked up. A la Khabib.
Could be Emil Meek, too. That's pretty much what it was. Remember how dangerous Emil Meek looked? Is that Usman just took him down ridiculously and just did nothing on top? Here's the thing. Usman is probably a better wrestler than Khabib, just to be honest. Usman is a much better wrestler than Khabib, than, to really, really be honest. Khabib's a great grappler, but Usman on his feet, as far as actual like wrestling, like shots, setups, takedowns, shit like that.
Yeah.
He's on a whole nother level. I think he'd trash Khabib, in my opinion. If Khabib moved up to 170 pounds,
I agree with that, yeah.
I think Usman would beat the fuck out of him. And
I don't think Conor can.
I just don't see where Conor would be able to do to Usman, to be honest. Unless he knocks him out. If Usman was dumb enough to just stay standing with him.
Like he did against Colby
against Colby. But it's different, though, because
Colby's
Colby had the
really
defense.
Good wrestler.
He's also a great wrestler. So there was the fear of, if we go to the ground, it's just going to be a ridiculous scramble and I'm going to tire myself out.
Right.
If you take Conor McGregor down, although he's got solid takedown defense,
he gets shit on for it, but it's a bit of a myth. He's good.
It's just not good enough, though.
But we're talking about Kamaru Usman, the welterweight champion, not just some guy in the UFC. We're talking about Khabib Nurmagomedov, the undefeated, one of the greatest in the division for sure, all time. So it's not like we're talking about scrubs and everybody can take Conor down. It's not like that. He's solid, but he's not that solid, I don't think.
Well, I think.
But
this has always been Conor's biggest problem. When it comes to where he fits in the division, is he talks so much shit and he puts himself on a level that a fight, a tune-up fight or a warm-up fight just doesn't exist.
No, Conor's got great big balls. He'll take this fight in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I just don't
know how well that goes for him, though.
Yeah, me neither. And I could see the UFC going behind it because it ties into what we just said. Now we got this John Jones incident.
Yeah.
And now they are going to be short on all these champions and short on a big fight.
The question becomes, did the UFC not pay John Jones because they didn't want to pay John Jones or because they can't?
Well, it makes no sense if they're talking about seriously building fucking Fight Island. How much do you think that costs?
That's true.
And we can't throw an extra $1 million at John Jones for a pay-per-view that's going to cash in more than fucking Fight Island. Fight Island's an expense. They got to build a hospital on there. What are they doing? I don't understand this. That's why I still don't think that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Like,
well, here's the thing too.
I don't know.
Here's the thing too is if you do Conor McGregor versus Kamaru Usman, and Conor then wins, you have now set up the greatest pay-per-view of all time, and that would be the BMF versus Conor, the three division champ.
Oh my God, that would be.
It would be the biggest pay-per-view in UFC history. Without a doubt. Without a fucking doubt. And here's the thing. I would much rather see fucking George try to take that belt from Kamaru than Conor, to be honest. Because I think the fight for Conor, mega fight-wise, is George. But if we're talking three belts, I would need George to beat Kamaru first.
And then have Conor fight George for the both belts, BMF and the
It would just make all the sense.
Yeah, I would like that better too. See, I was kind of thinking they might be angling towards Conor versus Masvidal, but now it really seems to have taken a
turn
to
like, yeah, it seems
Diaz.
Like Diaz.
Yeah. Which but I'm not
also,
mad at that.
It also sounded like they were doing Diaz-McGregor for a second there too. And because remember, they had a little Twitter bar back and forth, and Conor told them, sign the contract then, bitch. That's what he told them. So maybe there's been some talks because Nate also forego that eye surgery and said that he's good to fight. Because originally, remember, he was going to get the plastic surgery and he was going to be out till December. So I don't know.
Well, the UFC is looking for a big fight, and Jones, I mean, should be ready to go technically. Because everything else is kind of on hold, but that doesn't seem like it's going to be happening at all. I mean, this Jones and Ngannou fight would have happened fairly quick, I think, and would have set the world abuzz if they made it.
Both those guys are freaking fresh.
Yeah.
Both of them fresh.
That would have been the... What the hell are they thinking not making that fight?
Yeah.
I think how nuts. Sick that would be. But they need something here, and Connor's got to be the answer. But the question is, can he fly out of Ireland? Now, they've changed the laws here in the U.S. in the past, like 7 days.
European.
Where if you fly, you can fly in if you're an athlete. Like,
oh, yeah.
You still can't be, like, a tourist. Like, we're not
and
fly over here. But
fly
professional athletes can fly to the United States in the midst of this lockdown still.
So, fuck Fight Island.
And, yeah, like, they fixed that, like, before last weekend. So, why do we even need Fight Island?
And
if you got that money, give it to the fighters. Could you just give John Jones a cut of that and Ngannou and let's do this fight, please, for... Fuck's sake.
Well, shit. I think John's even worth $10 million a fight. Fucking Connor's getting paid $90 million, bro. Come on.
I know.
Like, what are we talking here?
Right.
Like, there's not that big of a gap in their pay-per-view numbers. Connor has some of the greatest pay-per-view numbers.
Against Khabib.
That's not what he told Ariel Hawani.
Did he say 90? I thought that was the Floyd fight.
No, he said 90 for that fight.
Well, even
he said 50 plus what? He said 50. Plus, all his other endorsements for the fight would be around 90.
So he's probably counting in like the money because he had proper on the canvas.
Yep. All
and he has other things he does. He does like, I think he does stuff with Beats. He definitely does things with Monster. He has his own private Reebok thing, which I'm sure pays big for appearances, which a fight isn't the biggest appearance of all.
I'm curious to see at the end of this year where he's at, like, if he fights again.
Yeah, he just finished at 16th.
Where he's at.
Forbes too.
Oh, 16th?
Yeah.
Was that from last year?
One that just came out, yeah.
So that was just the Khabib fight?
Yeah, he was the only MMA fighter on there, too. You know who wasn't on there, despite being the greatest fighter on the planet? John Jones.
And he
nowhere near that.
Didn't he fight three times last year?
Nowhere near that list, bro.
Didn't he fight three times last year?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Uh-huh.
What are we doing here?
So.
What are we doing?
Mix wonder.
For real, though,
it does. See how Dana plays this out. But I don't think Jones is bullshitting. I think he'll peace out.
I think he... I don't see why not. You know? Fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Walk away as the GOAT.
Try your hand at something else. He's got at least... Depending on... He's got at least one big boxing match, for sure, that he could cash in on. And if he does good...
Who do you think he'd box against?
I don't know, but pretty much anybody would be a
pay-per-view. I don't know.
I mean, think about it. He'd be coming in as the GOAT from MMA.
He would have to fight like Wilder.
He'd have to
he's
fight.
He's 205.
Yeah.
So
he'd have to be up in his 220. Like, he wouldn't be cutting weight. He'd be walking in there probably around 220-ish. But, I mean, Wilder's...
I just don't... Nah, his hands aren't good enough, man. Maybe kickboxed, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think he can do well in boxing long term. Like, I don't think he's going to be any type of champion, but I think he can get a fight, maybe two out, and get a big payday.
Or Muay Thai. Imagine if you went and fought Muay Thai. Fought kickboxing.
I don't think kickboxing would pay him either.
What if you fought like Rico Verhoeven?
I could see him do it.
That's what I'm saying.
He'd be a monster.
That would make him money for sure because it's not money over here, but. In Holland, it's fucking huge.
They got some kind of pay-per-view action over
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. That's what Badr Hari and Rico Verhoeven were a couple months ago, and it was huge over there. It was a fucking $7 million per...
Yeah, he could do something like that.
Like...
$7 million purchase?
Nah, like the...
downloads.
What's it called?
Gate.
Yeah, the gate. There you go.
I don't know. If I just said words related to this scenario.
Well, he was talking about it on Joe Rogan. The first one like cleared like seven.
Damn.
So that's fucking ridiculous. I don't know what the second one did.
I don't know if John Jones can act or not, but if he has any kind of acting chops, he can do some. He might be able to pull some action star shit, you know what I mean, for a minute, unless he sucks like Ronda.
You could play a cokehead on fucking Law and Order or something. For real, though, and it's not like he doesn't have people behind him, too, that could get him, like, into... other like avenues of business, you know. His brothers are both professional athletes, and I'm sure they've got tons of people. The NFL, although there's tons of NFL players who go broke, there's a lot of like financial, like, deals as far as advertising that get thrown your way when mm-hmm. you're a high-profile football player compared to a high-profile MMA fighter. You know what
He's
I mean?
He's got family connections that most of the fighters wouldn't
100%.
Have that might lead him to other avenues.
Well, and he's also, isn't he represented by Malky?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, so that just explains it right there.
Exactly.
Explains it right there. Yeah, so I just don't know, man. I think it's a big loss for the UFC if he were to walk away. Dude, but then again, they've survived without him before.
See, I know that's Dana's attitude. Fighters come, fighters go. Someone else will step up. And overall, that's proven to be correct. But at some point, that's going to bite him in the ass.
For sure. And it has in the past, too. I mean, there's guys that he's passed up on that have gone to other organizations and have done great. Guys like Fedor and guys like, you know, there's so many big fights that should have happened in the UFC that never did.
For sure.
You know? Whether it be like, there's just so many people, dude. There's so many people. Whether it be guys from Pride or people that he ends up getting outside their prime. Like, you know, there's just so many guys. So many guys that could have been in the UFC a whole lot earlier if Dana's ego and attitude didn't get in the way. Or his idea of what people should be getting paid.
You know I wish I mean? That would get fixed, which is my main opposition to Fight Island. We don't really need it at this point. It's one thing if we really had to fly international fighters there and there was no other option. But you can come to the U.S. now, you're good. So as long as you can get out of your home country, you can come here mm-hmm. just as easy as you can go to the fucking island. So why are we going to spend all this money
to go to a place? It's cool, bro. It's they already made T-shirts.
It's an island. There's T-shirts. There'll be a beach behind it.
It's buying me Vice colors.
Before we end today's episode, I do want to touch on one thing, because we talked about Mike Tyson last week.
Uh-huh.
So Mike Tyson coming back for an exhibition boxing,
yeah,
and I was getting pretty stoked on that. And then something happened here recently that diffused all my hopes for that. Is he showed up on one of those wrestling shows?
Showed up on AEW,
yeah, and
which is
feuding
like
with
the
somebody
equivalent to like WCW in the 90s.
Okay, so I got that. I can identify that. Yeah. Okay, so. Is that what he's doing? Has this all been just for that?
Maybe, because it looks like he's going to fight Chris Jericho in a match, they were saying.
I don't think anybody told him that, like, Hulk Hogan's shirts had all those slits in
them. I'm saying, dude, that was rough.
That was tough,
he got to
dude.
the bottom piece. That was a tough part. It's kind of, you know, it's stitched kind of like your neck.
Hogan's shirts didn't have that bottom hem, and they were ripped in the back already, dude.
And the neck was cut off. No, the neck was cut off. Remember, he would never have the neck of his shirts.
Dude, this is 2020. Hems are solid, bro.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson ain't wearing no dollar store.
He got it ripped off pretty solid, though.
He did.
It was funny how like the people around him were trying to rip it off him, too.
Yeah, nobody could rip it.
It was like, all right. Let's chill. Yeah, fucking your boy was there, too, Vitor.
I know. So was your boy, Cejudo. What the hell is going on?
I know.
I'm not. I mean, if that's what Mike can do, cool. Yeah. I'm not knocking. That's just
dude,
for
you know
me. I'm like, no thanks.
Bro. Yeah.
That's not what I was hoping for.
Yeah. It's tough, but it's money. Money's money. And this doesn't necessarily rule it out, you know.
Well, I heard him say on Lil Wayne, did you see the interview he did with Lil Wayne? He said this is all like, for charity. He was like, I want to raise money for charity, for homeless
people. For homeless people, yeah.
So, like... I respect. That's dope. That's awesome. Yeah. So it's hard to be like, oh, don't go to wrestling if they're going to pay you money you're going to give to homeless people. I get it. Just the fan and for selfish reasons.
You're like, yeah, don't go wrestling and possibly,
don't
you
wrestle,
know. Dude. Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. He was on WWE back in the day.
I remember
when he was the heavyweight champion of the world.
Oh,
he was with Hulk Hogan in there.
Yeah.
And DX. And it was intense.
It was intense. I know.
And I feel like he's maybe trying to recapture some of that. Because he's like a lifelong pro wrestling fan.
Yeah, that's his bag. That's why I'm not, I get it, dude.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, I hope we get something.
I mean,
I'm not asking the man to make a comeback in competitive boxing.
You want to hear something funny? I also read an article that Roy Jones Jr. offered to fight him.
What does Roy weigh these days?
I don't know. With that, I'd watch it.
Oh, who? Yeah,
I'd watch the shit out.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
I was listening to a podcast with Roy Jones Jr. and he was talking about was going to set up a fight with him and Mike in 2002. Well, he never materialized.
Yeah, no, I don't mean
Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson in 2002.
Man, that'd be crazy. You know, a cool fact that our listeners might not know about Roy Jones. He's listened to this podcast before.
Oh, word?
Yeah. Of course, you know. our boy Alfred, we write the magazine for it. They got a good relationship with Jones.
Yeah. I would love to see that, though.
That'd be a great fight.
Man. Fucking Roy Jones versus Mike Tyson, dude. That's
That's sick.
It'd be different, though. I wonder if it is like a charity thing, if it would be like headgear, no headgear.
It'd be no headgear. That's the cool thing about boxing. Six you can mandate rounds? It, whatever. Six max. Probably more like four.
Think so?
Yeah. I would picture four, maybe even 2-minute rounds.
Yep, or you could fight bare knuckle.
Dude, I wish that BKFC 20 mil was a legit offer. I just don't know
what it
is. I don't know. I mean, Chael says it's not, but what the fuck does Chael know? Sometimes Chael just talks out of his ass.
Yeah.
But
I think a lot of it is a lot of people still don't take bare knuckle boxing seriously.
I take it serious. That's war. Man, Mike Tyson at 53, he could still kill people in that, dog. That would be cool.
It would be savage.
I don't think Vanderlei. They were talking about him fighting Vanderlei Silva.
What? Bare knuckle.
Yeah.
Why? He'd kill him.
He'd Vanderlei's murder no, Vanderlei.
Vanderlei is not even the same size.
No. And Vanderlei, like.
Is Vanderlei signed?
He does not keep his hands up. Like, he's the axe murderer.
Vanderlei is on BKFC now?
Yeah.
I thought he was signed to Bellator.
No, he's in BKFC. They either let him do it or he's out of that. Finish his contract, but he's part of BKFC's roster now.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, but he keeps his chin way too exposed to be taking in a boxer, a Tyson, even at this age skill level. You can no.
Yeah,
Tyson
he's
will peekaboo
small.
Right in there.
Yeah,
fucking sleep.
Well,
because
what do you think Tyson would go in at, like 230?
Probably closer to 220. He's a little lighter right now, from what I understand, but still heavier than he was when he fought.
Vanderlei moved up to 205. I don't know.
I don't know. He could packed on a few pounds.
Yeah.
He's out.
I mean, he's definitely big enough. But
dude, what
I'm just
if Vitor gets Tyson on the TRT?
Who's to say he hasn't, dude?
Probably
like,
has
why
already,
would he?
Right?
Yeah, like, that was a pretty drastic.
I mean, I'm sure
fucking,
Tyson could get a prescription. He's 53.
I'm saying,
I'm sure you can get a script.
Isn't it anybody over 50? Aren't you, like, technically. Anyone over 50 can get it from a doctor.
Rogan has been on it before he was 50.
Yeah.
I know that. He's
pretty much anyone can go and get it. All you do is you think, hey, man, my testosterone levels are low. They freaking test them, and if they're low enough, they're like, okay, there you go.
It's guaranteed to be lower past a certain age.
Exactly.
So.
It's not like people are, I mean, some people were, but as of right now, no one's going in there at age 27, 28 going, hey, man, I need some TRT.
Well, let's hope that something else materializes with Tyson.
Hopefully, should.
Let's hope John Jones works this out with the UFC.
Or they'll fight each other.
Tyson Jones. Bare knuckle.
Bare knuckling. Fuck John Jones.
Yeah, he'd murder him.
He would fuck John Jones.
He would murder him. He'd come in with him body shots and destroy him. Wow. John couldn't use him knees or elbows or nothing. It'd be terrible.
Yeah, it'd be rough.
But terrible, as Charles
Terrible.
Say. Terrible.
Terrible.
That's today's show, I think, my friend.
Yep.
Thank you for tuning in, everybody. You can catch our show here starting back again this month. We'll be back on the air, WBUZ 95 on the Orange Radio app or radio.net Thursday nights, 6 p.m. out here on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. You can also find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Video is up on YouTube. All of these links and everything else are where?
SWATMA.com, where you can head over there, hit your gear button, support your podcast, and yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Hope you're smoking the good weed, too. Peace.
Peace.